Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
So, when God sent His Son Jesus, He sent Him to renew everything that had already gone before. He came to change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So He came as an agent of renewal. Okay? He came to renew the Word of God and reignite, refire everything that God had already promised. So that's what God sent Jesus, so that we would have a second chance at life, so that we could have a second chance. He's the God of the second chance, and He wanted us to live in heaven with Him for eternity. And it was through that fact that Jesus came. But Jesus went after 33 and a half years. He suffered death on the cross, was buried, rose again from the dead, and went back to heaven. However, the Bible tells us in John 16 that He never left us without comfort, but He would send the Holy Spirit to live and abide with us forever. So the Holy Spirit is on the earth to teach us, to lead us into all truth, to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All of these things is what the Holy Spirit's job is on earth today, to take the place of Jesus and do what Jesus started, which was to renew, to relaunch, to revive, to reinstall. If your computer gets a virus, you've got to reinstall. You've got to do something just to renew that again, isn't it? So that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. He came to say, well, look, what happened yesterday is yesterday. Today's a new day. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I strive towards the prize of the high call of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. So there's always something new. And we don't stay in the past. What we stand for today, what we make decisions on today, are making our future different, making our future better, isn't it? So that's where God wants us to be. And I believe that this message this morning is a prophetic message for this year. And I believe that if we, when we, and we're going to talk about hope and favor and the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the year. I want this church, and I believe God wants this church, I know God wants this church to be on fire, Holy Spirit-filled church with people flowing in the gifts and making contact with the Holy Spirit, that they hear His voice just the same way as they would hear any other voice, just the way in December 1986 when I walked into Irvin Mall coming over here from Germany after doing a deal, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He says, you're coming back. And I heard that just as clearly as I'm speaking now. You're coming back to Scotland, to leave the country of South Africa, and you're coming back here. When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit that way, you are totally convinced. There's absolutely no mistaking that God has spoken to you. So it's like a road to Damascus experience. It's an epiphany, if you like. It's just a huge change in your life, and it comes in a moment of time. That's what happened to me in January 1980. I received Jesus into my life, and from that day, I was renewed. Isn't that awesome? So, I want to share a scripture from you from the Septuagint version of the Bible. Don't look for it, DJ. You won't get it. So, from chapter 61, verse 1. And this is an English translation of the Greek. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is how Jesus opened up in Luke 4:18, and this is what he was speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, Jesus at that time was designated to be at the temple upon in that special day to read from the scroll, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And every one of you should believe that for yourself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you. If you've received Jesus Christ, you are anointed. Nod to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're anointed. Say, I can feel it. He has sent me to preach glad tidings to the poor, to heal the broken in heart. Glad tidings to the poor is, of course, they don't have to be poor anymore. To heal the broken in heart, that means hearts can be mended. No matter what happened, no matter what happened last year, Jesus sent his word to heal the broken in heart, to proclaim liberty to the captives. There's freedom if you're held in bondage to addiction or held in bondage. Anyway, there's freedom. Even people that are in jail doing life sentences have been liberated because they've received Jesus and they realize that the jail is only a place for them to do the ministry that God has given them. And recovery of sight to the blind. You don't need to be blind to the things of the world anymore. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 that Satan has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever, but God, Jesus came to give sight to the unbeliever, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of recompense. Say recompense. Jesus came to declare the day of recompense. I believe this message today is a message of recompense. That which you lost will be recompensed in your life. To comfort all that mourn, that there should be given to them that mourn in Zion. When he talks about Zion, he's talking about the church. When he makes references to Zion, he's talking about the church. Instead of ashes, the oil of joy to the mourners. So if you've been mourning, listen, there's an oil of joy for you. And at the end of this fast, what we always do is we anoint everyone with oil. And that's the oil of joy. It's the anointing that, according to Isaiah 10, that breaks the yoke of bondage and lifts the heavy burden off your shoulder. So we should look forward to that. So it's the oil of joy and believe for joy. Christians shouldn't be like they've been soaking sewer plumes or maybe you don't know what a sewer plume is. When I was a boy, we used to get sewer plumes in the sweetie shop. And so it's or sucking lemons. We should be joy-filled and joyful. The garment of glory for the spirit of heaviness. And they should be called generations of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for glory. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up those that were before made desolate. Listen, this is where we're talking prophetically now. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up that were before made desolate. They shall renew the desert cities, even those that have been desolate for many generations. You see, if things are desolate, the Word of God, the life of Christ in us, is going to take that which is desolate. The Holy Spirit comes to take that which is desolate, and he makes rivers in the desert. Amen. He will renew and make things brand new. Isn't that great news? He will make things brand new. He will recompense. He will renew these places. And strangers shall come and feed your flocks, and aliens shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. That all has spiritual significance that I don't have time to go into just now. But read Isaiah 61 and study it. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. And that's in the New Testament. We are priests of the Lord. We're all ministers of the gospel. The ministers of God, ye shall eat the strength of nations and shall be admired because of their wealth. Verse 7, and I want you to listen to this. Thus shall they inherit the land a second time, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. I believe that we shall inherit the land a second time. What God sent and meant for us to do the first time, he says we shall inherit the land for a second time. Amen. We shall inherit the land a second time. We shall inherit. God is the God of the second chance. He will cause you to inherit that which you thought you'd lost. He will give you back. And we read in Zechariah 9 just 2 weeks ago that he will give you double for your trouble, isn't it? Because we are prisoners of hope. We're prisoners of hope. And God shall take us to a place where we get double for our trouble. Amen? And that's when God says that thus shall they inherit the land a second time. You see, some of us think, oh, our dream has gone. It's lost. I don't have an opportunity. That which you have dreamed, you'll get, because he'll give you a second chance at it. Just restore. Let him restore the dream in your life. Let him restore that which you hoped for. That which enthused you at one time, that which was your goal in life, and somebody said, no, you'll never attain to that, or somebody said, you don't have the education, you don't have the talent, you don't have the qualities, you're too this, you're too that, and you've bought the lie. God is saying to you, you'll inherit the dream again, you'll inherit the land a second time. What you let go is coming back. What you let go of is coming back. When you stand for it, it's coming back. Church, it's coming back. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's coming back. That dream hasn't left you. It's coming back. That hope that you had once is there. It's still there. It's coming back. You will inherit that. Amen. If the word of God is true, then it's true. I believe that this is a prophetic word. We will inherit the land a second time. You see, that Scotland needs, the nations need to be changed. And everlasting joy will be upon their head. For I am the Lord who loves righteousness and hate robberies of injustice. And I will give the labor to the just, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Everlasting covenant is a covenant that was made at the beginning and it will still be standing at the end. It's an everlasting covenant. The covenant that God has made with us through Jesus cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. We are partakers of that everlasting covenant. In fact, Jesus says in Hebrews that I've come to make a new covenant based on better promises. So even if the old covenant was good, Jesus came to give us a new covenant based on better promises. Yes. Amen. Based on better promises. So the old covenant promises, if they were great, hey, there's better. Amen. What do you want, good or great? Do you want good or best?
Yes.
Good or gooder? I want gooder. All the time I want the best, isn't it? But we can be satisfied with complacency. No, don't be complacent. Don't be lethargic. Be full of fervor, vim, and zeal, and excitement. What you see when this word gets into you, you start to get excited. You start to, although you're maturing in the outside, the Bible says in the inside you're being renewed day by day. It's the truth. The more realization, the more revelation of the truth, the more excited you get, because you know that the truth has set you free. So, and their seed shall be, listen to this promise, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring in the midst of peoples, Everyone that sees them shall take notice of them, that they are a seed blessed of God, and they shall greatly rejoice in the Lord. So if you've got a hope for your children, this is the promise. Everyone that sees them shall take notice of them, and they are a seed blessed of God, and they shall greatly rejoice in the Lord. Listen, you won't have to scrape and scrimp and bash your head off the walls and try to break doors down. No, God says that your seed, your children, are blessed of God. So, I thank God for that. So, the title of my message this morning is The Spirit of God Renews. The Spirit of God Renews. The Spirit of God came to renew His people. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 in the New Living Testament. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. So suddenly, the suddenlies of God can come in your life. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. If you can imagine, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where the wind was really strong and it was really whistling and it was just blowing everything in its way, and you thought your house was going to fall down. Well, if you imagine all of that encapsulated into one blast, and that was like a blast from God, boom, and the believers were all sitting there, and they were all filled where they were sitting. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So 120 of them in the upper room were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Ghost that brings power. It's the Holy Ghost that brings the anointing. It's the Holy Ghost that breaks the bondage. And it's the Holy Ghost that leads us. It's the Holy Ghost that guides us. It's the Holy Ghost. If you study what the Holy Ghost does, you will see that the Holy Ghost wants to take His people to the place where we've spoken of before, to the place where we re-inherit, where we receive the double, where we receive the blessing of the Lord. But not only that, to bring us to the revelation of how to receive, but the revelation of how to disperse, how to give it away, how to encourage others, how to bring others to the same realization that you have, to the same revelation that we have as a church. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes to produce a boldness. You see, when God breathed on the apostles and all those that were in the upper room, when His breath came upon them, when there's a blast of God, it shakes up religion. And the Bible says that in Hebrews that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So it's like there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah. So a whole lot of shaking going on in the body of Christ. There's a whole lot of shaking going on in the world. If you haven't noticed, when the Americans abstained from the vote in the UN, which made it illegal to, or is trying to make it illegal for the Jews to go to the Wailing Wall, Jerusalem, and all the other things, you cannot believe that's happening. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. America is going to inaugurate a new president. I'm not talking politics here. I'm just talking, don't care what you like about him or don't like about him. Just look at the fruit. Always look at the fruit. How do we judge? We judge by looking at the fruit. How would you judge an apple tree? How would you judge grapes? You judge them by how they look and how they taste. So, There's a whole lot of shaking going on in the world. Things have been turned upside down in South Korea. They've been turned upside down in America. They've been turned upside down in Russia. All over the place. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And when the Holy Spirit came, he caused a shaking. The whole house, the foundations were shaken. When people came together to pray in one accord, when his people came together to pray in one accord, the subliminal message here, church, see if you can get it. And when his people came together to pray in one accord, anybody getting this yet? In one accord, there was unity, there was power, and the whole place was shaken. And I'm thankful for the people that are part of the prayer outreach initiative, but I didn't see many reports coming in this week. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep on, keep it on. Amen. So that is what happened. So the religious institutions were shaken because they were saying, we believe there's a Messiah coming. And when the Messiah came, they killed him. And then when the outpouring of the Spirit came, then they didn't want to believe that they had done what the enemy had wanted them to do. You understand? It says in 1 Corinthians 2, if the enemy had known what he was doing, he would never have crucified Jesus, because that's when the power of God was released on the earth through sacrifice. Sacrifice is what this whole Christianity began with, sacrifice. And the countries that are being persecuted are the countries that are growing in the kingdom of God. In Tokyo, in Singapore, in Japan, in Shanghai, churches are growing like you wouldn't believe it. And it's all 18 to 30-year-olds filling churches because they want to know the truth. They want something that will bring peace into their life. And that's what happens. The Word of God brings life and light and truth to those that will receive it. You've got to receive it. Amen? So the Holy Spirit produces boldness. Acts 4, verse 29 to 31 says this. The believers at Pentecost then gathered in a great praise meeting and prayed, NLT. Gathered in a great praise meeting and prayed, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You see, the religious world was up in arms, and they didn't want anyone to speak about the name of Jesus. They didn't want anyone to speak about the Holy Ghost. And it says, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that they with all boldness they may speak, in preaching your word. Keep going. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Amen. And all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. Amen. And when they had prayed, the place that was shaken were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost as they spoke the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit comes to give us boldness. You see, sometimes in life, you need to put your faith out for a bag, BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goals. Big, hairy, audacious goals. Sometimes you need to think outside the box. Sometimes you need to dream outside the box. Sometimes your dreams should be so big that they scare you, that you're your goals should be so big that you can't fulfill them on your own. You've got to get the help of God to get to the place where you want to be. But that's what boldness is. Boldness is charging hell with a dry water pistol and know that you're going to be victorious. That's what boldness is. Boldness is an audacious faith. Boldness is like Smith Wigglesworth, who was accredited for raising 12 people from the dead, as taking a dead body under the oaksters and standing it against the wall and saying, "Live." That's boldness. Boldness is punching someone in the stomach with a tumor and the tumor disappearing. So these are things that is boldness. I see Chrissy sitting there. Her husband Jim, when they were in Ireland, went into a hospital and there was an elderly lady with looked as though she was pregnant and it was a tumor. And Jim went in there, laid hands on her, and commanded that thing to die and dissipate. The next morning, they went into that old lady's room, and right round the old lady's bed, is this right, Chrissy? She's nodding. This is the truth. I'm no exaggerating. Around the bed was a pool of liquid, and the lady had a flat stomach. Many ladies... You can't get hands laid on for that. Okay. But the lady's tumor had gone. That's boldness. You pray for something and it happens. That's boldness. And the Holy Spirit came to give us boldness to believe the word of God, that every word is true. Amen? Boldness to walk in the truth. Boldness not to go along with popular opinion, but boldness to stand against the popular opinions. Boldness to stand against lies, deceit. Boldness to stand there and say, "I know the truth," John 8:32. "I know the truth, and the truth has set me free." Amen. Don't get caught up in bondage again. Know the truth that set you free. Excuse me. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. The Holy Spirit's job is to comfort the church. Acts 9:31, the Bible says, "The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger throughout Colwinning, Salkett, Stevenson, and the surrounding areas, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, also grew in numbers." You see, so if we've been told that we're going to inherit the land again a second time, then we believe the word of God, then the Holy Spirit will bring the church to a place of peace. The enemy wants to bring dis-ease. God's Spirit came to bring peace, which is the opposite of dis-ease, isn't it? So he wants to bring peace into the church so that the church would grow and multiply. God wants his church multiplied. It also grew in numbers because they lived in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is believing what God says. The fear of the Lord is doing his word, of being obedient to his word. You see, that obedience to his word means you do everything his word says we should do. Amen? And we do it with joy, and God will cause us to grow and prosper through that. So just to say that before we possess the land a second time, we've got to have a turning back to God. So we got to turn back to God. In 1 Timothy 4:15, the Bible says, "Give yourself wholly." You see, I'll give 15% of my life to the Lord. The rest, the other 85%, I got stuff to do. Well, we know we've all got stuff to do, but what percentage, if God says, give yourself wholly, which part of holy are you going to give him? He wants us to, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things shall be added unto you. And in your mind you say, well, I don't, that doesn't figure. I can't work that out. So I'll just do what I think. Now, you see, but if we do what he thinks and we do what he wants and we give ourselves wholly to him, that means our thoughts. So it's like, I want to enter into this agreement for a lease, a house, a car, or something. Oh, Lord, is this the right thing to do at this time? You know, so your thoughts, I want this job. Is this the right job for me? I was speaking to Caleb this week, and Lauren, who graduated cum laude at her university, means top student, and she believed she would get this job, and she never got the job. So she was kind of devastated. But speaking to her the other night, don't be devastated. There's something that God didn't want you to have in that job. You see, when the Israelites were moving over into the promised land, God didn't let them in immediately. He says, I'll let you in bit by bit so that I can take care of the trouble that's there before you get there. So some of us have got to realize that everything might not happen exactly the way we want it, but God has got something good for you coming through all that situation. Does that make sense? So it's just like when you give yourself wholly, you say, well, Lord, I thank you. I don't know what the reason was. I don't understand it, but I thank you for it because I know it must be good. Amen. So that's where we go with that. And we see that in Zechariah 9:12, it says, come home, hope-filled prisoners. This very day I'm declaring a double bonus. Everything you lost returned twice over. I want you to get that in your spirit this year. I believe it is a prophetic word. I believe that if you will receive that word, and those that receive the word from the prophet will receive the prophet's reward, or those that, so you got, if you don't receive it, you don't believe it, then you got to go before God and say, I can't receive that. Open my eyes to it so that I can understand why I can't receive it. Because the word of God is for you. And God wants you to receive that word, that everything you lost returned twice over. Well, I lost a house. I lost a husband. I lost a child. I lost something. God's word promises that he will return twice over. You say, well, how can he restore a child? How can he do that? Well, he can give you another one. You say, I'm too old to get one. You can adopt one. You know, there's all sorts of things that that God can put in your life so that things can be restored. He can restore joy. Now, I've been depressed for 10 years. He can restore that joy in a moment of time. And listen to what happened to in Job 42, verse 10. After Job's losses, when he prayed for himself, indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You've picked me up on that. After Job prayed for others, for his friends, you see, it's me, Lord, it's me, it's me. Now let's start praying for others. Let's start praying for our friends. Let's start praying for our church. Let's start doing that. Because after that job, the Lord gave him back his fortune and then twice as much. He gave him back his fortune, gave him what he had, and then twice as much when he prayed for his friends. Lord, don't just raise me up. Raise my friends up as well. Help me to help others. And as I help others, Lord, your word says that you'll restore double to me. Amen. Oh, I don't know if I should. Okay. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Okay. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:30 from the New Living Testament. and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved in the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by ignoring him, insulting him, not believing the word that he gives you, not following the word that he gives you, not giving him first place in your life. Give the Holy Spirit the honor, the place in your life that he deserves. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.